I had no fear. And I think that has a lot to do with it. There was no one saying I couldn't do it. I engineer buildings, so why couldn't I engineer a sweater? And then I realized, oh no, this is a little bit more than a passion. This is an obsession.
That was Robin Chichula, designer, author, and crochet teacher on this episode of Power Pearls Podcast, where you'll always hear candid conversations from designers and everyday knitters with compelling backstories. I'm Karagat Warner, host of Power Pearls Podcast and executive editor of Creative Knitting Magazine. I will dig deep and share the stories that will empower your knitting journey. This episode was brought to you by Annie's Signature Designs, who has recently launched Autumn Bliss, a collection of more than 40 knit and crochet patterns envisioned by Lena Skvargason, lead designer of Annie's Signature Designs, along with supporting like-minded designers, including myself, Robin Chichula, Megan Jones, Jackie Dougherty, and more. In addition to these totally practical and timeless patterns, which you will discover, Annie's introduces a unique concept called the talking pattern. These are not like your typical tutorial because Lena herself walks you through the pattern, focusing on those tricky bits so you can feel empowered to jump into that pattern that you may have otherwise thought twice about because you thought it was too complicated. So if you really want to learn more, go on and visit annies.signaturedesigns.com. Hey, Power Pearls listeners. Today I am chatting with Robin Chichula, crochet designer and author of Modern Vintage Crochet, Blueprint Crochet Sweaters, Unexpected Afghans, and Crochet Stitches Visual Encyclopedia. Her work has been featured in many popular crochet publications such as Crochet Magazine, Vogue Crochet, and more. Robin is also a contributing crochet designer in Annie's Autumn Bliss, a stunning collection of 40 plus knitting and crochet patterns. And if that wasn't enough, she's also one of the crochet experts on the Annie's PBS television show, Knit and Crochet Now. She's also a crochet instructor for Annie's online classes. Whoa, Robin, you are busy. Thank you so much for joining me today on Power Pearls.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is awesome. So now I just want to say right up front, I know this is a knitting podcast, but you know, I feel like your story applies to both knitters and crocheters. You know, we're all makers, we're creators. So if we love yarn, you know, hey, welcome, right?
Exactly.
You know, I feel like the things discussed on this podcast are so plug and play in our crafting lives. And you are, I just want to let you know too, you're officially the second crochet designer I've had on so far. Yeah. So, because I'm going to be doing more and more of this with crochet for that reason that I just mentioned. And actually, I have Dora Orenstein coming up in a few weeks too. So this is kind of cool. So for all you crocheters out there listening, I haven't forgotten you. So, you know, and I've been meaning to reach out to you for some time, Robin, because I really wanted to get you on the show. And, you know, it's just the demand for crochet has been coming more and more. And so, you know, I was happy that you said yes, because I feel like you're one of those inspiring people out there in the yarn world that's really making a go with your design business. Like, you're doing it. You know, you're infusing so much inspiration to crocheters everywhere with your positive and upbeat attitude. So now I want you to jump in and, you know, just you share more about yourself and your excitement for this craft.
Well, first, thank you so much, Kara, for having me on. And I completely agree with you about knitting and crocheting. I like to say when I talk to my students, I don't care what you're doing, whether you're knitting, whether you're crocheting, weaving, embroidery, I don't care. If you're doing something with yarn, come on, come sit by me. I'd like to chat with you. I love everything and it all when it has to come with crafting of any type. And it's super exciting. So I'm very happy to be here and chatting. And thank you, thank you, thank you for everything so sweet, everything that you said about me. I'm blushing big time.
Well, it's true. It's true. You always have such a smile on your face, you know, like when I see you on the TV show on Knit and Crochet Now. You're just so positive, and it just shows through in everything that you do.
I certainly try to be. And I mean, come on, when you get to, you know, spend time making a TV show and all that you're doing all day long is crocheting or knitting backstage and giggling, that's all you're going to have is a big smile all the time. It's pretty great.
Oh yeah. You've been doing this for a while. You have a lot of books under your belt. You're all over the place. I like to say, you're very scrappy. And that's the trick. I mean, that really is the trick in this world. You know, you really have to put your feelers out there. But when was it that crochet entered your life? I mean, do you have an interesting story or a pivotal moment that you could share?
In terms of crocheting, I started crocheting, I know exactly when I started crocheting. It was February of 2002. Why I know that is that...
That's awfully specific.
It was. Wow. It's ridiculously specific. And I mean, have never picked up a hook before. That's the first time I did. I was helping my sister out because she had a difficult birth with her second child. And so I came over to help afterwards for quite a while. And she needed to rest a lot. My nephew would take, you know, big naps as well. So I would find time with just me and the newborn hanging out, having nothing to do because, sounds really funny now as a mom. I'm like, I never have nothing to do. But as an aunt, you know, so I'm like, well, I'm just going to sit and I'll try this. My mom liked to crochet. I wasn't having much of a go at my knitting wasn't going that well. So I just figured I'd try it. And within a week, I, you know, exceeded everything that my mom could teach me, everything that I could learn. And I went, oh, I really like this. And it was one of those, like, a light bulb clicked on and I was like, oh no, this is going to be a big part of my life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause I was going to ask you if you knit too, but you already beat me to that because you tried the knitting thing and just, it didn't click with you. It just didn't click. Yeah.
Yeah. And I still knit now. Just for myself, a little bit here and there. I'm not a knitwear designer, even though it's very cool and I love everything to do with everything knitwear. But it just doesn't click with me the way crochet does, very oddly, you know, just something clicked.
Mm-hmm. So you started in 2002, like you said, right? So that's when you were crocheting.
Yeah, literally just learned how to crochet.
Just learning.
Yeah.
And then when did it enter your life as like an idea to start a business? How did you stumble upon the idea of designing? Because I think that's what happens to a lot of us. Like,
yes.
Because for me, it was like I stumbled upon it. Oh yeah, I can actually do this as a business, or people actually buy patterns.
Right.
So how did that happen?
It happened around 2006. I think I had my first thing published. It was, my drive was mainly I couldn't find patterns that I wanted to make. I couldn't find crochet patterns for sweaters or things that I wanted. And in my daily life, and I guess it's still true, I was a structural engineer. And so all that I did all day long was break down big problems and find little solutions to each little part of the path. So for me, designing a sweater, it was just natural. It was like, oh, well, I can't find this pattern, so I'll figure out how to build it myself. I was so, you know, every part of my life was, well, I'm going to build this big building, but you don't just say, oh, you know, I'm just going to throw some steel at it. You design each little beam, each little floor. And I'm like, well, I could design a sweater the same way. I just, you know, would take a blueprint from a sewing pattern. And I'm like, well, I can just, you know, math was certainly easy for me. And I can just extrapolate. I'll just make this a little bit bigger and I'll make this curve this way. And I had no fear. And I think that has a lot to do with it. There was no one saying I couldn't do it. I engineer buildings, so why couldn't I engineer a sweater? And then I realized, oh no, this is a little bit more than a passion. This is an obsession. I need to do this a lot. And it's one of those crazy things that you start chatting with somebody who influences you and like, hey, that's kind of neat. Why don't you publish that? And I'll go, okay. And it all, you know, I didn't ever think about doing that. That seems strange, but why not? Things just snowballed, and everyone in the industry is in the yarn industry is so nice and so welcoming. that I think once again, no one said, oh no, that's horrible. Don't talk to me. Mm-hmm. And everyone said, yeah, that's great. Can you write that up? Sure. And because I'm an engineer, I need to be very specific. Well, how do they write their patterns? Well, I need to copy the exact same. And so everyone thought I was a professional and haha, I was just really good.
Yeah. You were fooling them.
Speaking it.
It just happened, yeah. Right? It just, and mm-hmm. I hear that a lot too, where with some designers, not a lot, but you know, where you were doing it and you're like, oh, someone told me I was doing it, so now I'm doing it, you know, or whatever.
Exactly.
You can't see the forest for the trees. I don't know if that's the right, yep. You know, phrase here, but yeah. And I also find it fascinating. I guess I'm in that category, but a lot of designers came from that kind of a background, very structured, being engineers or bookkeepers or mathematicians or something like that. I mean, I was a bookkeeper for 8 years and no wonder I thought it was interesting. And I love geometry. So then for myself, pattern design was like, ooh, you know, it's like exactly. Fun. Mm-hmm. So, okay, well, now we know how that all started. Now, let's talk a little bit about the TV show. Like, did that come first before the design? Like, how did that happen? Was it sort of synergistically kind of in that same time? How were you discovered? That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yes, everything snowballed from one thing to the next. It's one of those very strange things. So I started off designing for an online magazine, which then snowballed into, hey, do you want to design something for this paper magazine? Okay. Hey, do you want to, you know, do you want to write a book? Okay. I mean, who says no to that? Okay. Why not?
You were approached. I mean, you really didn't have to do a whole lot of pushing and marketing.
Not in the beginning. I certainly put out a ton of proposals to everyone all the time I kind of go full tilt into everything I do and went to whatever conference I could go to and meet people. And I think that Candy, we can ask her, Candy, who's the producer of Knit and Crochet.
Candy Jensen. You know, I just want to say the one little thing, because, you know, I don't want this to discourage anyone listening who is wanting to design. Because, you know, the thing is that like you were doing something that you were passionate about and you just loved it. So you just did it. And then you put yourself out there first. Anyway, it wasn't like someone discovered you sitting in your room quietly. You were already out there. So if you put something out there, if you're in a magazine like Crochet or Creative Knitting or whatever, you know, the other magazines, you start with that one place and then see what happens, you know, but just do it because you love it and don't push, because when you push, things don't come so easily, you know? So anyway, I just wanted to add that little footnote in there, so to speak. So people just don't feel like, oh, you know, it happened for her, but not me, because, you know, you just got to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
You know?
And the bigger thing with me is that, you know, I always say that like things just roll off of me because I was in the engineering industry and I was so used to a male-driven industry, which is just very honest and brutal. But that was my everyday. I never looked at rejection as a bad thing. So whenever I'd get a proposal of any sort, whether it was teaching or designing, when I ever got it rejected, I thought, awesome. Now I already have a proposal already done and I can send it off to somebody else because this person didn't want it. Well, maybe that person would. So I never looked at rejection as a bad thing. I looked at it as, oh, half my work is already done.
That's a good point. Yeah. Because those proposals are, yeah, they're useful. And one magazine doesn't take them. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I say that things snowballed, I certainly was. It wasn't like, oh, everything's rosy all the time. But in my mind, it was, even though, sure, I got rejected all the time. Like, but that never was a negative thing for me. And maybe it was just because I don't see those things in those respects. You know, I don't let things like that get me down.
That's good. I mean, that's definitely a key to picking yourself back up and moving forward, because I know for many, including myself, you know, where you're like something, it's like, oh, it didn't go the way I wanted it to. And it's hard to sometimes pick yourself up. But if you already have that part of you that doesn't feel affected by that, that's great, you know? And yeah. I think we can all cultivate it. You know, I think we can.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's also a little bit of a survival mechanism because at the time I was doing essentially two full-time jobs. You know, I was doing structural engineering full-time and I was trying to create this crocheted career full-time. So I'd come home from work and it was before kids. I'd come home from work and immediately go right into crochet work and work on that until, you know, midnight, then get up, for six to go to work again.
How did you do it? I mean, I always think about how that could really wreak havoc on your health too. I mean, I'm skipping ahead because I was going to talk about the work-life balance thing, but did you feel like were you able to figure out a balance so that you could keep your health intact and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. It's one of those funny things because my husband and I, we were both structural engineers and then he's now an architect. So we've always been in careers that are project-based and deadline-based. We went to school together too. So all that we know is you hurry up and get something done and then you take a break. And then you hurry up and get something done and then you take a break. We don't know what life is like when you go to the office and come home because we never had that. Even as an engineer, there'd be a lot of times that I would have to take things home, design things off hours. And then there was sometimes where I could leave work early. It's it was a different, we had a different.
You had flexibility.
Flexibility, different mindset.
And I think I think we have to figure out what that is for ourselves. So there's no black and white for anybody, you know?
No. And you also have to know yourself. I'm a person that doesn't need as much sleep as other people, you know? If I have 6-7 hours of sleep at night, I'm good. That's what I need. If I got 9 hours of sleep a night, I'd be a zombie during the day. So you have to also know who you are and know yourself. And of course, it set me up really nice when my first daughter was born and at the same time the economy hit and every engineer and architect that I knew was all laid off because, you know, everyone was out of work because and no one had any money. So naturally, no one's building any buildings. And we're all like, uh-oh. And that's when my husband and I realized, us both being in the same career is not the smartest decision in the world that we've ever made. Yeah. And so that's when we decided, okay, let's give this crochet thing a try full time. And I'm like, sure, I can do this and be a mom. That seems reasonable. I was, you know, engineering and crocheting at the same time. So why not?
Why not? Ah,
what a fool I was.
Yeah. So anyway, I sort of changed the subject a little. I want to pivot back to the TV show and how you were discovered. And Candy found you, Candy Jensen.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that. I'm curious.
So Candy Jensen is one of those people you meet in life who is just the most amazing mentor ever. I'm not sure how, but she and Brett Barra, who was the host of our show for a number of years, they met. Brett and I met early on when she was the editor, when she just started, the editor of Crochet Today magazine. It was a little, you know, not being published anymore, so it's a little old. We met, hit it off right away. You know, we giggled because we were both from the same hometown, and it's one of those weird, how do you know my childhood? You know, she was best friends with my childhood next door neighbor. It was one of those weird things that you laugh about later and you're like, that's very weird.
Because Brett lives in New York City now. Is she from your neck of the woods?
So she's from outside of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
My husband is from, and that's where I live now. So it's all these random things. But I'm from Allentown, which is on the other side of Pennsylvania. And so it's, you know, it's just a very, nothing's a small town. Everything is very big. So it was a very strange connection. And so on the very, very, very first season, Brett was not the host. Cassie DePaiva was the host. But Brett and me and a few other people, we were guests. You know, we were her guests. And so we did an episode or two. And luckily, I guess I did okay. And when Candy reformatted it for the next couple of seasons with Brett as the host, asked me to come on to be a crochet expert. And so she was really the one that started my career of doing things on video and on teaching online more than anything else. So I'm very thankful. But Candy Jensen is just one of those amazing people. Her life story is fascinating. Yeah. And she's one of those people that helped me because I am actually a huge introvert and I don't like to talk to people. And sometimes it's hard for me to get rolling. Once I do, I'm okay. But she was always amazing because behind the scenes, we would like sit down to breakfast in the hotel. And, you know, she would just talk to the stranger next to her. And it was amazing. Like, she could find common ground with anyone at any time. And I'm like, boy, that's who I want to be. I want to be welcoming and open because that's who I am in my soul. And it's just like, She's pretty cool. So it was kind of one of those inspirational mentors in your, you know, in your life. And so for, I would ask, you know, she would help me a ton in, you know, figuring out anything professional, from how to deal with book proposals to different ways to look at things. But yeah, so she started me off in not only, you know, my TV career, but just the crochet career in general, and how if you like to do and like to have lots of different hats, it's good to do that, because sometimes work comes in ebbs and flows. And so having lots of different irons in the fire sometimes helps. And that's, I like to have lots of different things going on at once, meaning that like sometimes it works out for me to have a couple different magazine projects going on, or sometimes having one big book project works out. Or so like I do anything, you know, I'll design for magazines, yarn companies, books, I'll do tech editing for anyone, I will do graphics for anyone, I'll have lots of different irons, because sometimes I notice that my brain needs a break every now and again. That, you know, more than anything, helps me out a ton.
Yeah, and I think shifting gears like that is really good, because you can go back to another part of your craft with a fresh experience, fresh eyes. Because I know for myself, and I've said it before in my own experience, when I was a designer, I was also an illustrator. And so I would flip-flop between that, because it was so different. And then go back to the designing. And it was like, oh, it's like brand new. And it's it was very refreshing. And so I think that anyone listening, that's a good thing to think about, because you don't want it to get stale. Because do you think, Robin, is that how it keeps your passion for the craft alive? Do you still feel like excited?
Very much so. Because whenever I do a book, when I'm all done, I'm burnt out. I got nothing left to give. And I find that then if I go teach more, when if I go teach in person than when I do videos, it just re-energizes me completely to be with other people and see what they're passionate about, see what they've gotten into. That then invigorates me to be like, oh, yeah, that's right. I do like designing. Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, because my dad, he was always very funny when I got started, because for them, it was a very different, like, you know, you just spent all this time learning your engineering career. And, you know, it's a lot of schooling and it's a lot of work and a lot of work to get registered. And you're just going to throw that all away. Like, he's like, you're going to run out of ideas. And so it's just very funny to be like, well, no, you don't run out of ideas.
No.
Creating a person doesn't all of a sudden not be creative anymore.
Oh, not at all. It's, in fact, sometimes it's not a burden. I don't want to say that. But like I, just yesterday, I was thinking when I had these ideas, I'm looking at all the yarn and the fabric and a bunch of different fibers on my work table. And I just thought, oh my gosh, there's not enough years in my life to make all this stuff. And
that's exactly how I feel.
That in itself is like a little bit of a bummer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We will not run out of ideas, especially when we decide to do that healthy thing of the flip-flop, you know, and kind of shifting those gears. So that's it's really, I'm really happy you mentioned that.
More than anything, it's just taking a break from one thing so that you can replenish your mind in other forms. And then you're like, oh, that's right. You know, whatever it is, I know that I need to take a break so that I can come back at it with fresh eyes.
Do you believe in quality of life? I know we touched on that a little bit before, but I feel like it's a myth. But I, what do you think about that whole thing? So do you believe in work-life balance? What do you think about that?
Yes, 100%. You need a work-life balance without a doubt. When it's off, you can feel it. And at the same time, I don't believe that no one else can tell you what your work-life balance is. You have to figure that out. My husband and I both work from home. He's an architect and I'm here. But for a long time, he would have to travel, you know, 3-4 days a week. And so work-life balance meant a lot of different things then, when I was solo parenting, when he was gone for over half the week and trying to run a business. That work-life balance had to be something different than it is now when there's both of us here. And it's like, oh, yeah, hey, there's someone who can share this with me. And then you're like, oh, things can shift again. What I do believe in terms of work-life balance is that when you are feeling panicked and stressed all the time, your work-life balance is off. There's something going on. And that's when I know that I have to take a breath and have to reevaluate. How is this working? Because I'm a mom, my kids are little. So my son, he only goes to school for half a day. And these things don't last forever. He won't always be little. He eventually will get bigger and go to school for full time. And so for me, my work-life balance is like, okay, well, he's in school for half a day. That's when I work. And then when he's not in school or not with a babysitter, I'm not going to be checking my phone and feverishly doing anything other than being with him and being at home. Because I find that when you work from home, you're always working and you're never not working. And so for me, my work-life balance is disconnecting. Okay, I'm not looking at that until I'm back in the office. And for me, so my office hours are the morning when he's in school, then take a break. Then once they go to sleep, I come back to the office for a few hours, and that's how I make it work. And people are always worried because, oh, you work so late. I'm like, I do work late, but I have a big portion of the afternoon that's off, where other people would have off when they came home from work until they go to sleep. Well, it just so happens that I have off in the middle of the day. And I find that doing that makes me a lot happier and pleasant person to be around and not to be so stressed. Although, you know, I'm only human and I do check my smartphone more than I should. And if there is a, you know, a horrible, oh my goodness, I need this right now, I can jump. It's just, I try not to jump at everything and I try not to look at my phone. And I do try to put my fingers down, step away from the yarn, which can be hard.
Oh, that's so hard. I know for me, like as a knitter, like knitting in the round is really, I mean, it's like, it's like a crazy addiction. Yeah. It's like, I can't, it's like, put it down because there's no ending. You know, you just keep going. I mean, crochet is like that too, because obviously you crocheting in the round as opposed to back and forth. So when you don't have to turn your work, it's like endless. So you're just like, no, I just one more. But I wanted to say, I really appreciate that you mentioned that about this work-life balance or this acceptance, you know, like you're in a certain chapter in your life, like accepting that you have chapters, like if you're a parent, if you're a mom. And I have to do the same thing for myself because here, you know, I work full time and I've got the podcast and I've got so many things on the fly. It's ridiculous, but I have to make choices. And I also, like I was just saying to my husband the other day, I don't want to miss my son's soccer game because, oh, maybe I want to sell some of my knitted creations at a local craft show or something every weekend. No, I like this is what comes first and it'll be gone before I know it, you know? So I think that I'm really happy and grateful that you shared that because I think a lot of the listeners have to hear that too, because it's, you got to make those choices. And I think when I do that and I'm in touch with that, I'm happier. I can be more content, even though, I'd rather just sit and knit, you know, and come up with some new crazy ideas for the podcast and what can I do next. But at the end of the day, when I say yes to that, I'm saying no to something else that really needs my attention.
Exactly. And I'm very much a very nosy person and I like to know what some of my other colleagues are doing. And I get really jealous. I'm like, oh, they can do that. That seems so neat. Oh, that seems like so much fun. And then I realize, I could do that, not tomorrow, but I could do that 5 years from now, or I could do that 10 years from now. Life doesn't end tomorrow. You know, there is more time. You just remember that idea. Oh, that you wanted to do this fun thing or that fun thing. And eventually there is time for everything. And just understanding what's the most important things to you, it does make you a much happier person, or at least it makes me a happier person, realizing that, you know what, I like where my kids are right now, and spending, you know, time playing with them and being with them is important to me, just as important as my career. So I'm going to make time for both.
Yeah.
I won't be able to be as successful as some others, and I want to be as amazing as a mom as some of my other friends. But I can make by, I'm happy with what I can do. And I notice that although when I'm not happy, then that's when I go, okay, you seem stressed. Let's figure this out again. You know, it's a constant reevaluation. It's a constant figuring it out and constant realization that I really don't know what I'm doing. And I'm just kind of, oh, we'll try this. And oh, it didn't work. Oh, well. And again, It goes back to my personality of, oh, that didn't work out. And instead of getting completely down on myself, I say, okay, well, let's look at whatever positive there can be and reevaluate. Let's try again. What else can we do? Yeah.
Exactly. Is that a dog that I hear in the background jingling around?
Yes, this is my crazy puppy.
I just had to say it. I mean, like, you know what? This is real life. It's okay. We hear that. I just wanted to say, hey, you know, I'm sure other people are curious. So I thought I would just ask. Yes. It's your puppy.
And she's huge. She's a puppy, but she's a German Shepherd. So she's full of energy, 10-month-old German Shepherd. And she's reminding me of, hey, it's all about me and not about you.
Oh, that's great. So I had another thought on this work-life balance, but I feel like I could talk to you for hours, but I know time is precious. I guess I'll just shift gears a little bit. And I wanted to ask you, I think you probably answered this already, but what your biggest struggle is maybe as a designer / business owner / lover of craft. And maybe you've already said it, and maybe it is that work-life balance.
Yeah, my hardest thing is that I have too many ideas and not enough time. I find that when I get inspired to design, let's say, I end up with way too many ideas and no time to do it. So I have to edit a lot and be like, no, you can't do 10 new designs. Let's try for 4. You know, instead of going all out all the time, because when I get time to myself, it's like fireworks going off in your brain that you have to be like, wait, okay, take a breath. I know you want to do this and I know you want to do that. Let's focus on one thing at a time. So that's my hardest.
And you know, this is what I want to say before. I knew I had another thought. There is a quote, and I think I mentioned this recently in an episode, but I love it. And it goes sort of like this. I might butcher it, but you can do everything you want, just not at the same time.
Right.
You know? And it's simple, right? But I heard that, I'm like, yeah, okay. But it's easier said than done, because you can say, well, I'll put this on my later list.
Yes.
But you get so excited, you know? But you do, it's really true. And there's a book out there that I've read called The One Thing, a couple times, actually. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. And it's about that. It's like the domino effect. Like you pick that one thing and you kind of come to this conclusion that this one thing could have the biggest impact on everything else. And if you focus on that, then it'll have the biggest impact on your life. So I just thought that that book was so useful and so helpful. Maybe you want to read it. I don't know, but I think it's cool. So I want to just really quick talk about something before we get off, though. You designed a gorgeous piece in the new Autumn Bliss collection for Annie's. And I'm telling you, we're calling it the Paw Paw Poncho. I don't know if you knew that name. It's stunning. It's stunning. I'm going to include a picture of it in the show notes. This makes me want to pick up my crochet hook, seriously. Because I'm an obsessed knitter, but this is, because I do crochet as well, but I haven't for a while and I really love it. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
So what was the inspiration, or is there something you can say about it?
Yeah. So that design was a complete collaboration between Lena and I. Lena is just amazing. Getting to know her through the TV show and everything else, she's fascinating. Mm. She's just this unbelievable force of nature.
And that's Lena Skovargason, who is the lead designer of Annie Signature Designs. And she's also an expert on Knit and Crochet Now. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing what she can do. You're right.
She truly is incredible. Her ability is so neat. She was so lovely to ask me to help with the design. And I knew that I wanted to do something that truly looked like Lena. This is Lena's ideas. And I love getting to collaborate with people who are just that brilliant, because they make you brilliant when you don't feel like you are. And she truly did. So we probably went through, I don't know, 8 different sketches and swatches to find. We wanted something that was simple, because the design is basically like four rectangles that easily are seamed together that makes this, you know, very easy to wear sweater. And we wanted with something that was so a rectangle that's pretty simple to make and simple stitches to do, but didn't look simple. So my idea was it is the yarn does all of the work and you just sit back and enjoy your stitching. It's basically like you're doing half of a granny square, but with no holes in it. So it's just solid stitches in a rectangle shape. So when you get to the end, you turn instead of like going round and round that you would in a granny square, you're still doing a rectangle instead of a square, but that just means that you have a little bit extra stitches in the middle. When you get to the end, you just turn and go back. Because it's a variegated yarn, it looks like you're doing these stripes. And so in some of the panels, they look like you have these very neat blocks of color. Some of them look like stripes. It's just, it does all of the work of making it visually interesting. And you just get to sit back and stitch. It was, I do have crocheters that help me crochet because my hands would fall off if I did everything. But that one I did myself because it was so relaxing and I needed something that was easy and mindless. I could just put on an audiobook and enjoy myself. Mm-hmm. And it was just lovely to make. It was very wonderful.
And that's what I love about this piece because it looks like that it would just be enjoyable. Like you could just sit and watch TV or whatever and just, I'm just crocheting the hours away. And in the end, you get this wearable piece. I mean, it's so stylish. I mean, it is just, it's not fussy with stitch pattern or anything like that. Because sometimes that can happen. Things can get really clunky and you're all like about the stitch pattern. This has such a wearable look and I love it. So
thank you.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to find out about that, you can check out AnnieSignatureDesigns.com to see this design and others. So yeah, that's great. So thanks for sharing a little bit about that. So I think, I mean, there are more things, but we don't have time, obviously. Like you do online classes and I know you do Annie's online classes, also Interweave. You know, I don't know. Can you just real quick, like when it comes to your online teaching style, what would you say is your thing? What makes your classes unique? And then I think you have a little special treat for the listeners.
I do. Okay. So my teaching style is relaxed. I mean, I can't get that out of me. That's how I am. And what I try to, it's very hard for me to say, you know, oh, this is a beginner or this is an intermediate or this is whatever kind of class. Because I teach the same way, whether I'm teaching something super advanced or something super easy. I go from, okay, this is how I do it. Maybe what I'm saying would be a tip that would help, or maybe you already know that. Either way, I try to have a very relaxed class and a relaxed attitude, and I try to cover everything I humanly possibly can think of. Because with me having kids, I actually, in all the spare time that I have, is I love beading. And so I actually end up taking a lot of jewelry classes online because I never get to go anywhere. Having kids, you know, if I'm taking a class, it's certainly going to be at 11 o'clock at night when they're asleep. And, oh, I got an hour to do something and I want to do something. And so I approach my crochet classes in the same way, thinking that, you know, you probably only have a little bit of time to watch this one piece or this one segment. So I want to give you as much information I can, but not stress you out. Be relaxed. Go over things a couple of times until it's like, oh, yes, I got that. I see what you're saying. And at least that's what I try to do. So no matter what class I'm doing, whether I have a crochet your first sweater class, and every part in those segments of teaching you how to crochet your first sweater, I have every little tip that I can think of that I would probably say in my advanced class as well, because I like to say the only difference between being super advanced and being a professional or being a beginner is that us professionals really know how well to hide mistakes. And once you learn how to do that, boy, you become an advanced superstar. Yeah. Like, oh no, that wasn't a mistake. I meant to do that.
So you have a little special discount or a little...
I do. Annie has, for all the Power Pearls listeners, they have a 20% off discount discount coupon code. So all you need to do is type 20OFFRC in checkout, and that will take 20% off any of my classes at annies.com.
So can you repeat that again? So it's 20?
It's 20OFFRC.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. Thank you. So this is for any of your classes that are available, any of your crochet classes on Annie's?
At Annie's.
Online classes.
Exactly.
Awesome. That's great. Well, thank you. Where can the listeners learn more about you, Robin?
So you can find me at my website, which is crochetbyfay.com, or my blog, which is crochetbyfay.blogspot.com. And that will link to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, anywhere you want to keep up with whatever I'm doing.
Well, Robin, this was great. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much. I had a great time.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Hey, if you've made it this far, then you rock, because that means you are a hardcore follower of the podcast. And for that, I just want to say that I am so grateful that you're a listener. So, you know, what'd you think? I mean, Robin is pretty awesome. And so is her puppy, if you heard those clanking chains in the background. So I apologize if that was a little bit disruptive, but I don't think it was too bad. And also, don't forget to take advantage of the special gift from Robin. Here's what you need to do, is just go on over to anniesonlineclasses.com. And if you use the promo code that she provided, you can get 20% off any of her online crochet classes, which is pretty sweet. So with that, I want to say thanks again for listening, and I will see you next time.